in our life. This one happens to be the Chicago fire, where a third of Chicago burns down to the ground. And with that fire, Horatio, his business, his law firm suffers. And his investments now are literally burned to the ground. Have you had that day? You wake up, it was 1870. You come in. Something in your life, a tremendous situation. It could be something from the past. It could be something in your present. But this fire dwells up, and next thing you know, you're trying to look at the loss of things out. But Horatio did something that I thought was just fantastic. He poured back into his word. He did not let that thing shake him, although he was questioning some stuff. He was reminding himself of how big God was, and it reminded me of what Job said in the word. You know, Job, God comes in. The sons of God come in, Satan comes following, God kind of sets them aside, asks Satan, hey, what are you doing? And Satan says, hey, I'm busy going in and out, up and down, back and forth through earth. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? Well, of course he's considered Job. Of course he has. And everything is taken from Job in just one fell swoop. All this stuff is taken from Job. One servant after another is coming in telling Job, this was lost. But Job says something at the beginning that was hard for me to understand. He said, I come into this world naked, I go out. God gives and God takes away. Job found himself on a firm foundation of the promises of God. I didn't get that until I was reading the story about Horatio. So he sits down with his wife and says, okay, a third of Chicago's been burned, and our businesses are suffering, but here's what I want to do. I don't want to just sit here and collapse under the weight of the unknown. And let's do that. How many of you sit back and try to figure it all out? You got to know the outcome. You got to know the answer. And you try to do what God should be doing. And you take it over. And that's where the worry and the fret comes in. But Horatio comes back, grabs his wife and says, listen, there's a mission field out in Chicago right now. There are people that are poor. There are people that are missing. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are suffering. People that are lost. We need to go out in the community and bring God out there. And so him and his wife, they go out there. And they start helping those in need, those who are injured, and bringing those who are lost home. Oh, an amazing thing happened. When they were looking at everybody and going through all the people that they were brought in home, they found these little kids. And they knew them. They said, aren't you D.L. Moody's kids? And they're like, yeah. Horatio and Elizabeth, in fact, they're blown away. They're looking at, there's this huge fire. A third of Chicago's been burned. My business is suffering. All this is happening. And here's God shows up. We go out into the community. And who do we get? The pastor's kids. He's out bringing revival to the world. He's doing a great and mighty things. And here God shows up to protect him by bringing us into the community to help these kids. Have you had that day? Where it's 1870, the fire, you know, everything's great. 1871, the fire shows up. You're questioning, you're wondering. And then you see the mighty hand of God. And you kind of go, oh, man. God showed up. Have you had that day where God showed up? And I'd like to end the sermon right there. God shows up. Done. Walk off the stage. Drop the mic. It's over. But unfortunately, life goes on. It went on for Job. It goes on for us. It goes on for Horatio and Elizabeth. After spending a year doing this in the community, he sits back and says, you know, I've got to get back into business. It's suffering greatly. My investments are gone. And so he tries to go back and figure this stuff out. And he spends another year trying to figure out the losses. And one day, he doesn't say how long, but one day he's sitting at his desk and he pushes back the chair and he realizes how far away from God he's gotten. It's like, I remember everything was going good. I remember the fire in 1871, and I remember choosing God and not my circumstances. And now all of a sudden, I'm filled up with my circumstances, and I'm missing God. And so he pours back into his word, and he opens up. He's like, God, this whatever this is, this situation, this circumstance, the loss of my business, the loss of my investment, whatever this is, God, I'm your servant. I want to do what you would have me do. I don't want to sit here and apart under the weight of something I know nothing about. But I want to stand on the foundation of someone who knows all about what's going to happen. And he felt this peace that he needs to go back on mission. And so he goes back home and he talks to Elizabeth and he goes back to work and he's sitting at his desk and it's just not feeling right. And he says, I'm trusting God. Okay, I'm booking a trip. We're going on a mission trip. We're going in Paris. Paris needs missionaries in this time. And he does it. He books the passage on the ship, gets all the tickets, comes home and tells Elizabeth, doesn't even ask her. Guys, be careful doing that. You want to ask your wife, you want to make sure it's okay. Because she's got dates in there that you don't know about. May not be able to go. But he goes home, tells Elizabeth, we're going. This is too much. I got the tickets. Let's go. Have you had that day? You've got this plan. You've got this. I'm going to do this for you, God. This is be for you. And you've got it all planned out. And it seems like all the doors are opening. You're going that direction. God's blessing you significantly. And you've made this great choice. Well, comes the day to leave. And they get to the port. And he's getting Elizabeth and his business partners and venturers come up. And they say, Horatio, it's a disaster. You cannot go right now. And it doesn't say exactly what he was facing, but it was something so significant that he could not this voyage at that time. And so he kisses Elizabeth and says, you go with the girls. You go. I will be on the next ship out, I promise. I'm going to deal with this. God's got this. We got this all figured out. Have you had that day? You're on mission. God's got, the doors are open. And then work shows up. Or the devil shows up. And another thing happens. And he's trying to distract you. See, this is when we preach this old ancient gospel that says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming to do that so you don't get to connection of how it is to grow with God. You want to stand firm, fight the good fight? You want to win this race to the end? Man, don't let go of God. And Satan's going to come in and he's going to distract you. He's going to slap you. He's going to beat you up. He's going to say, don't get on that boat. He's going to say, you have to stay here. Well, Horatio back, he's given his time to God. Elizabeth and the girls take off. And halfway through their voyage, their ship collides with another ship. And within 12 minutes, Elizabeth's ship sinks. 12 minutes. Right in the middle of the Atlantic. Elizabeth says she grabbed all of her girls and she's on the deck on her knees. She's praying out to God, crying out to God, protect us. Protect all of us on this ship, those who are going to be in the water. Bring the rescue. Protect them. And she's praying over her kids. And just then this huge, cold Atlantic wave breaks over the boat. And Elizabeth looks up and her three older daughters are gone. And she grabs hold tight to the baby. And she's still in prayer. And another cold Atlantic wave comes over. And the rescue boat starts showing up. They heard the distress call. They were very close by. And then up the survivors and they find Elizabeth unconscious on a piece of debris. Her daughters are gone. One fell swoop. Have you had that day? Have you had that day like the cold Atlantic water just rushed right over you and just stripped everything you held most dear away from you? Have you had that day where you just are starting to doubt what God might be doing? Should I have never gone? Was I missing you, God? Was it something that I did? There's no cell phones. There's no immediate signal back to tell people what's going on. It takes a while for the disaster to get back to Horatio. It takes a while for the rescue boat to finish what it's doing and to find the nearest port, which was in Wales. And Elizabeth gets off and she gets to the telegraph office and I can't even imagine, what do you write? How do you even start? Have you had that day? Trying to figure out all that's been happening, all that's going on, it just does not make sense. You're sitting back and you're pushing back and you're trying to figure out the right words to write. And I don't even know how she got through it. But right in the middle of her writing this out to her husband, She says, saved alone. Saved alone. If you get out your outlines and you look, it says saved. I want you to put right next to that, right in front of it, I am. I am saved. If you know Jesus Christ right now as your personal Savior, you are saved. You're saved. You're secure in Jesus. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus, you need to come to know Jesus today so you can be saved. Because these events are going to happen and you need a firm foundation. That's this message. You want to persevere, stand strong, fight the good fight, and win this race. I'm about to tell you how you can. But I am saved. And if you're not, you need to come to know Jesus. And if you're dancing with where you've been and you don't know how, if you really are, you need to come to Jesus. You can rededicate your life. You can rededicate your life at any time. It's imperative to know I am saved, period. I am saved. And the rest of it says, but I am not alone. You can fill that out. But you are never alone. You might feel like you're floating in the midst of the waves crashing all over. You might have gotten through the fire and you feel so desperate. Have you had that day where you felt alone, like you're the only one? Elijah kills, he's a great prophet, kills 450 prophets of Baal. One woman comes and says something disparaging and he runs. And he's saying, I'm alone. And God's saying, no, you're never alone. Trust the one whose voice calmed the water of the storm. You are never, never alone. If you know Jesus, you are saved. You are secure in him. And you are not. You are not alone. And so Horatio, he gets the note and he can't even process all that's going on. He heard about the disaster before Elizabeth's telegraph came in. And he's praying, God, protect all of them, my wife, my children, every single person on that boat, and to realize that your prayers were not answered. The ones who were the missing were the ones that you wanted most. And so he doesn't crush under the weight. He books passage on the next boat to Wales so he can go pick up his wife. This is what this brought all of Job to realization for me. The waves crashing over and stripping all away Elizabeth. It's the same thing, Job. No wonder why Job's wife said, just curse God and die. She didn't care about the animals. She didn't care about the property. She didn't care about the wealth. She cared about her kids. In one fell swoop, they're gone. Life doesn't always make sense. But God always makes sense. If you know Jesus, you are saved and you are never alone. If you don't know Jesus, you're not saved, and you are alone, and you will be beat up by the Atlantic, and you will burn in the fire. But I'm here to tell you the great message today. Come to know Jesus so you are saved and you're never alone. And so the first point today is write that in the margin, I need the promises of God. Horatio gets on that boat. And he's sailing halfway through his journey. The captain sends for Horatio and has him brought to his cabin. And he says, Horatio, sit down. He goes, I just want to tell you, to the best of my knowledge, to the best of my understanding, we are right over where your wife's ship went down. And Horatio just kind of collapses in the chair and he's in prayer. And what I found most fascinating is Horatio right now is hovering on the firm foundation of the promises of God. You want to know where the promises of God? It's in this word. Horatio spent those years studying God's word, being in God's word, and seeking God. He spent all these years putting his kingdom first and Horatio's kingdom last. And he needed it for right now at this moment in time as he's sitting in that chair knowing they're just passing over the watery grave. But Horatio gets up. He goes back to his cabin and he starts writing to his sister. And in that letter, he pens these words. When the peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like a sea billows roll, whatever my lot, hast thou taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well with all, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let his blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of my glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. For me, be it Christ, be it hence to live. If Jordan shall meet, above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace for my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, the rest of my soul. As the Lord haste the day when face shall be sight and the clouds be rolled back like a scroll, the trumpet shall resound and the Lord shall descend, even so, it is well with my soul. These were the very words that Job was uttering when he said, naked I come into this world and naked I go out. God gives, God takes away what he's saying. It is well with my soul. Job's wife didn't quite understand that. I don't even think Job quite understood the foundation that he was sitting on, the promises of God. You want to get through this life. You want to persevere, stand strong, fight the good fight, and win this race. Get into the promises of God. Pour into his word. And what does God say? When you pour yourself into me, I will pour myself into you. That's a promise. Every promise that God utters cannot be shaken, cannot be destroyed, and cannot be removed. Everything else that's false in this life will. And so Horatio pens those words, and they're powerful. They're just powerful words. He gets his wife and brings her back to Chicago. And life goes on. But he's got a new perspective. He is now on a firm foundation of the promises of God. He understands that this foundation of God is unshakable. In one of the meetings I had with a young man, I was explaining, he wanted to know about this firm foundation. And so I'm a builder, and I said, here's how I understand the firm foundation of God, right? So I'm going to use construction analogy here. I said, God pours an absolute perfect foundation. And let's say he starts here at the ground, and he goes up as high as you can possibly see, as steep as you can go, right? Now, there's all sorts of grades of concrete today, but God doesn't choose a grade here. He chooses a perfect grade of concrete. In fact, it's so perfect that it has a grip that no man can slip from. And so if you were to stand at the bottom and descend up to the top of God's foundation, his firm foundation, you would make it. You would be able to walk every step. But see, the problems with life, situations, past experience, and circumstances, your future hopes and dreams, they're like dropping tons of rock on God's firm foundation. Now, God's firm foundation could take a boatload of rocks. He could take all you can dump on it, and it can never be destroyed. It's just a little deeper down there for you. So I told the young man, all you got to do as you're standing on the rock, and I don't know if you've ever tried to climb a hill that was full of rocks. You know, you slip backwards, right? You either go down face plant, your palms are bleeding, or your clothes are tore, but it's just very difficult. Well, I told him, I said, all you got to do is dig your feet like this. Now, do this when you go home. It's kind of exercising. But if you dig like this in the rocks, you know where your feet go? All the way down to God's foundation. Do that at the beach. You will find them as you go through all the fluffy sand at the beach. You will find yourself in a firm foundation. You do this anywhere in life, and you will find yourself on God's firm foundation. It is there. It'll never be destroyed. You just buried it with a bunch of rocks. And if you dig your feet in, you're going to find yourself on foundation. And what it takes is not strides, but sliding your feet. Because going down is not an option. If I'm going to fall, I'm falling forward. I'm going to fall on my knees. I'm going to fall on praising to you, in prayer to you. I'm going to find myself in a position that reminds me that I need to be praying, that I need to be seeking you. And that is a foundation that I can walk. God, I'm going that way, because that way is not an option. This is what Job understood, what Horatio understood. This is the firm foundation. That's the best recollection I could tell you. I'll tell you how that is. Hopefully that works. So Horatio finds himself here. He's got a new perspective. He dug himself in. He's back on God's foundation. And now work is a little different. He sees his law firm from a different perspective. He sees the fire and all his burnt investments from a different perspective. God's got this. God will see me through. I just got to let him navigate me through this. I got to trust him. He has never failed me. I failed him. He's never failed me. Every promise he's given me cannot be destroyed. And so he looks at it from another perspective. He gives it to God. And so life goes on. A year later, Elizabeth gets pregnant. She has a girl. They have their little daughter. They're kind of holding on and trying to figure things out. A year and a half later, she gets pregnant again and has a little boy. And then they find themselves in another situation. The little boy gets sick. And he ends up with scarlet fever. And in 3 months, he dies. And they're rocked. They're rocked. But it's different this time. Horatio writes, this is so different that it was profound for him. And that brings us to point two. Point two is, I will get the presence of God. When you are pouring yourself into the promises of God, God tells you, he's going to pour himself into you. So when you're in his word and you're seeking his kingdom first, God's going to be there for you in his presence. You want the presence of God? Have you ever prayed and didn't feel God? Anybody? Anybody feel like the silence of God? God really wasn't there? Or you're just kind of questioning how things were going? Why? What's going on? Right? Well, that's Satan. Because God has never left you. You find yourself on the foundation of God's promises, and he will give presence. So now Horatio found himself in a different position. He found himself in the presence of God. You want God's presence, get into his word, get into his promises. And so Horatio and Elizabeth, they're like, okay, God, we're in your presence. We know you're there. And so they go back to life and they get back involved with church, and everything seems to be just going along and God holding them. And after church one Sunday, the elders get together and ask Horatio to step back in one of the rooms. And so Horatio goes in there. He's wondering what's going on. They said, sit down. He sits down. He's like, what's up? What's going on? And all of the guys said, you know, we see some stuff in you, and God's word tells us that we got to come and tell you what we see. And Horatio says, yeah. Well, what do you see? He goes, well, I'll tell you. The reason why your girl died and the reason why your son died is sin in your life, Horatio. Because of how you were as a lawyer, because of how you were with your investments, because how you are with your family and your church. And we're here with you, Horatio. We are the ones God is sending to you to pray with you so you can repent of your sins. So all of this will stop. Is this the story of Job? Right? His three friends come along. Job, it's your pride. It's your arrogance. It's your business tactic. It's you. It's your sin. Stop sinning. Well, Horatio has that presence of God. He is on the promises of God. He is feeling the presence of God. And so he pushes back the chair and says, it is well with my soul. And they said, Horatio, if you don't repent, you leave the church. We're done. And he left the church. Doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense. Here we have Job and the story and how things are happening, and how could anybody say such a thing? At the beginning, his Job's friends heard about his hurts and his suffering, and they wanted there and be with him, and it turned out to be this big, you know, I see the sin in your life. I recognize what you're doing is wrong. Have you ever had that day? People point out the plank in your eye without noticing they have a log in their own. If you're going to find that point to stand firm and to persevere and fight the good fight and to win this race, you're going to come against all sorts of obstacles. And you need to be promises of God. You need to pour yourself into his word so he could pour himself into you. And you will find yourself in his presence. Now, how many of you have ever prayed for the peace of God? Anybody? All of you? Good. Pray for the peace of God. But here's how it actually works. You got to find yourself in His Word, to find yourself in His presence, if you're going to get His peace. Even Satan can give you peace. While you're going in the whole wrong direction, he could give you peace on the direction that you're going. The path to hell is wide well lit. The path to heaven is narrow, and it's a little bit difficult to navigate. Few find it. A lot get off the path. Right? And so right here, Horatio completely falls in the arms and to the presence of Jesus, and he starts finding this peace. He realizes that his mission field now is God. This might not be the call for you, but it was the call for Horatio. There was something that happened that gave the presence of God to bring him this peace. Now, Job had the same thing. Now, I'm going to say something. This is of me, okay? This is my understanding. And please, prove me wrong if I'm wrong here. But in studying Job, I read at the beginning of Job that his three friends show up. And I read the discourse. And then I get to the end of the Job when God shows up and he's chastising Job and his three friends. When did Elihu get there? When did Elihu show up? At what part of the story did he get there? He was a young man just sitting silently waiting for all these older gripey people to shut up and be silent. So as I was reading the story of Horatio and God was working me on these points, I came to take a new perspective with this young man. I read, Elihu spoke for 6 chapters. Job and his friends didn't speak that long. Elihu did. And when I started looking at the way he was writing, what he was saying, yes, it starts off he's angry. And I look at it more from a righteous indignation is when he spoke, because he spoke the truth of God. Everything Elihu said was spot on with the promises of God. And if Elihu's promises of God, you know who's going to show up? God. And in all 6 of the chapters, when Elihu is speaking, he's talking about this coming storm. He's talking about this thing on the horizon. Do you see the lightning? Do you hear the thunder? Do you see it? What he's saying is, listen, God is going to show up. You're both upset. All of you are upset. You're in the wrong place. You've taken the wrong track. And you need to listen. God is showing up. And by the time I was done reading what Elihu had to say, I felt that he was bringing repentance to Job and his three friends. Because they had nothing to say. They had nothing to say to Job. I could be completely off track here, but it just made sense that he brought into the presence of God. Because as soon as Elihu spoke, was done speaking, God shows up in a whirlwind. The storm. Angry. Job's friends, Job, they get a stern talking to. Elihu's not even mentioned. And it just reminded me again that the promises of God, I sometimes walk out of the house without getting into his word, and I have such a horrible day. I have a horrible attitude. I go down the wrong tracks. And in fact, the more I don't get in here, the easier it is for me to get distracted. The more I am in here, the more I find myself in his hands, and he's along the way doing things and saying things that I shouldn't be able to do because it's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. I've got no education in this. I've got no seminary degree. I'm just a contractor and a lousy contractor to boot. But God does amazing things. If he can speak this way to me, an idiot, he can speak fantastic things to you. I'm telling you, you want to find that God, get into his promises. Find yourself into his word. And I guarantee you, the more you pour into God, the more he's going to double his pouring into you. And is that what we need today? It is such a crazy day. Politically, you read the news caption, people are dying left and right, and there's these mass genocides happening in school, and it seems like the world is on fire, and it's running amok, and you know what it is? It's supposed to. It works towards the end. This world's not going to be saved. It's going to be destroyed. Our bodies The masterpiece? You know, I stand in front of the mirror because I've heard it said, you are a masterpiece, you are a masterpiece. You know where I gauge that from? I stand in front of the mirror and I look at how old and fat and ugly I am, and I'm like, I'm really a masterpiece? How could I see? This is the best you can do, God? Really? Seriously? I was out the other day and I heard this loud roar and I couldn't figure out what it was. It was my neck fat slapping because of the wind. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That this cannot be a masterpiece. I can say that about me. Amen. Rabbit trail. Okay, so anyways, well, what God is telling you and what he was going through with Horatio as he was saying, well, with my soul, what Job was saying when he said, you know, God gives, God takes away, what he's saying is it's your soul that becomes the masterpiece. It's your soul. God is shaping the soul, the part inside of you that is going to heaven. Your soul, God is shaping that, and he's using all your external situations and circumstances. He's using all your events and hurts and trials and struggles. He's using all your scars and sorrows and hurts, and he's shaping your soul. He's shaping your soul. That's the masterpiece. Don't judge yourself by what you see in the mirror. I don't like what I see in the mirror. I want to be one of the guys that my wife shows. She watches a show called Seals. They're big, bulky, massive dudes. They're gorgeous looking. So did I just say that out loud? I just said that out loud. That's totally embarrassing. They're awesome. They seem perfect. See, I would judge myself by that, and that is not how I look at this masterpiece, and that's not God. Sometimes we judge God by our earthly fathers and our earthly homes, and that's not God. Sometimes we judge God by our hurts and our sufferings. I am suffering physically. I'm hurting mentally, and I'm spiritually low, and we judge God like we've done something. But God is still doing such a great work. Don't judge by what the world sees. Judge by what God is up to and what he's doing inside of you. It is a powerful, powerful thing, all that God does. And I didn't read any of the scriptures. I didn't read any of the scriptures with any of the points. But you see how that goes? It's awesome. Hold on, thank you. No, really, seriously, read what's on there. It's really good stuff. Really, all it is Psalms 46 broken down into the 3 points. But it is. God talks about in the Psalms, he's talking about being the source of strength and refuge in times of trouble when the earthquake, and sometimes our trouble is minute, and other times it's earth-shattering. But God is still our refuge and our strength. See, Horatio was writing the song, It Is Well With My Soul, because he was based on his work in the Word of God, which was mostly Psalms 46. That's the reason why I just didn't pick it out of thin air. It was Horatio's go-to verse. Anybody here have a motto verse? You have your motto verse that's going to carry with you all of your life? Seriously, nobody's raising their hand. Gary's got his hand. We got one hand. Got a hand here. Hand here. Get yourself a motto verse. Gary says, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through donuts that shape me. No, it's I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I will pay. I will pay for that. You know, mine is Simon, Satan is asked to sift. This is my motto verse. Simon, Simon, Satan is asked to sift you all as wheat. But I pray for you, Simon, that your faith does not fail. And when you turn around, Simon, look around to all your brothers and sisters that are going through the same stuff you had just been going through. And don't just stop there. Don't just recognize them. Don't just see them, Simon. Go and do something about it. Find yourself in the promises of God. Get into the presence of God. You'll find his peace, and go help your brothers that need the same. Don't tell them all the stuff they're doing wrong. Don't them cast them out of your church. That's what he's doing. What I wrote like this, the promises of God will bring you into the presence of God, and that gives you the peace of God. If you want, you could actually cut that out. Gary made a nice little box there. You could put it on your forehead, on your computer screen, on your dash of your car. Remind yourself, if you're going to get through, if you want to stand firm, fight the good fight, persevere, and win this race, know that you have to be into the promises, God. Get into the promises of God, and he will give you peace. It's an ancient message. This is nothing new. I didn't tell you anything new that hasn't been preached since Jesus was walking the earth. Now you just got to do it. You got to make it happen. I end it this way. And God's peace, which is so great, we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. See, I thought that was a great ending verse until I read this one. This is how I want to end it. This is Isaiah 43:1-2. Now, this is what the Lord says. The one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I will be with you when you through the waters and when you pass through the rivers. They will not overwhelm you, and you will not be scorched. And when you walk through the fire and the flame, you will not be burned. 1871, the fire. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Man, nobody wants to go through the fire. They want to go the other way. And God's saying, listen, if you don't bow, you won't burn. The king is saying, if you don't bow, you will burn. I told that, sit that from another preacher. I can't remember who said that. I'll remember it later. Anyways, and then it goes on to the river. You get into the storm, the cold Atlantic waves. And this scripture in Isaiah is telling you, don't worry about the storm. Trust in the one whose voice calms the water, who's stronger than hurricanes, who can take you through them and provide you all that you need. That was a much better scripture. Isaiah 43:1-2. That is powerful stuff. Man, what a great day. Isn't it a great day? The world sucks. It really does. The news is horrible. Everybody is dying. Business is hurting. Things are suffering. Although you hear the other side, you don't know which way to go. Go to God. Go to God. It's so much easier. You want to save some time and some heartache? Run to God. Get into his word. I tell you, he will fill you with his presence. And you will get it. Run to Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for your message, for the hope that you give. This is such hope today. There is such hope in today. And you, thank you for all that you're doing behind the scenes, God. Even all the things that we don't see. Lord, I pray that we can choose to see what you're doing behind the scenes. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for pursuing us, and showing us the way, the everlasting way, the way to salvation, the way to eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.